We're doing Mishlei, the 27th chapter, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perik Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and as per your request, I will lay in the Pasuk before explaining. Chacham bini, v'samach libi, v'ashiva chorefi, davar. If my son became smart, if my son became wise, Chacham here is active. Im hitchakim bini, if my son became wise, v'samach libi, then my heart rejoiced, my heart became happy, and then I will be able to respond to those who curse me out. Shlomo HaMelech says, if you'll be smart, so then when people curse me, I'll have an answer. If you'll be a fool, so then when people curse me, look what kind of kids you have, look what kind of person you are, what can I say? Arum ra'a ra'a nistar pitayim averu nenashu. A person who is arum, who has cunning, when he sees something bad coming, nistar, he takes coverage. He turns away from things that are bad. When a person sees a potential for avera, he turns away from it. He sees a fight brewing, he says, guys, I gotta go to sleep. He hits the sack. He's not around when these things happen. A person who has oma, a person who has cunning, sees the problem before it evolves, and nistar, he hides from it, he gets away from it. Pitayim, but the fools, averu ne'enashu, they go through it, and they pay the price. Chazal said this about a person who sees a missionary coming, a person sees a troublemaker coming. So, if he's smart, he just goes away. What's he looking for trouble for? If he's a fool, he'll start entering into a conversation, into a discussion, into an argument. What for? Like, there was once a guy here at the entrance to Machon from the Ture Karta. So we finished the Thursday night class. It was like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And you had five guys from Machon Meir trying to argue with this one guy. So they, as I leave class, they say, what do you say? So I said, okay, if you really want to hear what I say, I'll tell you. I walked over, I asked the guy, is there any chance you're going to listen to what they have to say? He says, no. I asked the five guys arguing with him, is there any chance you're going to listen to what he has to say? They say, no. I say, then why are you guys talking? What's the point? Neither side is open to hearing the other side. Each one is just trying to persuade the other side that is wrong. Each one is willing to declare openly that there's no, you're not going to hear what the other side has to say. So just leave. Come on, go to sleep. It's the middle of the night. No. If they would have been that intelligent, they wouldn't have entered the conversation to begin with. Kach bigdo, ki arav zahar, uv'ad nochiyah, chavilehu. Shlomo HaMelech says, kach. Those guys? No, they're still here. Kach.
Is the guy here?
No, it's a graduate of ours. He didn't graduate, but he left from Turi Karta.
Really?
Yeah. We love everyone, even people who come here and curse us out. Kach bigdo ki arav zav. If you've put yourself in a situation where you're a cosigner for a stranger, so then at least take his coat, take something of his. Uve'ad nochriya chaveleu. And if it's a female who you don't know who's asking you to co-sign, also take good collateral. If you're entering a situation where you don't know the risks, so then at least take the garment, take something to have protection. And Shlomo HaMelech repeats the concept with the female. Sometimes if it's a poor woman that asks for a loan, so people say, no, I'll help her, I won't ask for security. Shlomo HaMelech says, if it's a woman, the same thing. That's one understanding in the pasuk. Another understanding in the pasuk is that if a person co-signs someone who's really a stranger, so then ultimately he brings himself to a situation where the courts are going to say, "Kach bigdo, take his garment. Ki alav zar, he co-signed the stranger." He says, but I didn't know him. I thought he'd be faithful. The judge says, you co-signed. You got to pay. You don't have the money, so we'll take your clothing. Shlomo HaMelech is taking us to the end of the story. Very often, we get taken in by the beginning of the story. We once had a guy who used to frequent yeshiva. He came for a few months. People saw he knew how to learn. He was a nice guy. He was into things. And then he let us all know that he doesn't have a penny to his name, and his shoes are torn, and he doesn't have any money, and he doesn't have bread for his kids, and everything's terrible at home. And he asked guys to co-sign loans for him to the sum of tens of thousands of dollars. So he came to me. I was also nice to him when he came. So I asked him, tell me, do you own the house you live in? He says, yes. So I said, so you have collateral for the loan. I don't own a house. I don't own an apartment. I'm renting. If I'm co-signing your loans, if I'm going into your debt, then I'm risking my clothing, the clothing off my back. You have a house. You're coming to Avrechim in the yeshiva. They don't have homes that they own like you. They're in a terrible situation financially. You're asking them to co-sign your loans? So the Avrechim, some Avrechim co-signed. And I didn't interfere, but I felt it was wrong. It was wrong of him to ask, and it was wrong of them to give. Shlomo HaMelech warns us. You're co-signing a person who's really a zar. He's nice to you today, and he's been nice to you for 2 months, but that's very nice. At the end of the day, how well do you know the person? He's a stranger. Look at the end of the script. Look at what's going to happen ultimately. Kach bigdo, the judge is going to say without mercy, take his clothing. Ki arav zar, he gave the cosign to a stranger. He had an option to do it or not to do it. Uva'ad nochiyah, and even if it was a woman who he didn't know, but he co-signed for her, he's responsible for that loan. Chavlehu, take his clothing, take whatever you can to pay back the loan. He co-signed. Pasuk Yudalid. I don't know, I left the story. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Guys came and asked me, should we co-sign or not? So what was I supposed to tell? It's a tough call. I said, look, he's a nice guy, he needs a hand. But ask yourself, can you really afford this? Why? And how well do you know the person? He's very nice, he's learned, he comes here and learns, it's very nice. But guys were taken in. Guys, I mean, could be paid back all the loans. He probably did. But I felt it was an incorrect risk to take. If you know that you've insured your family, things are okay, and you can afford the risk, fine. But Shlomo HaMelech warns, you're risking your own clothing when you close that. Mivarech Reyehu Bekol Gadol Baboker Hashkeim Kilala Techashev Lo. If someone blesses his friend in the morning early, he comes early in the morning, so he comes and he says, guys, you know what a great guy this guy is. Whenever I need a hand, he gives me a hand. Whenever I need a loan, he gives me a loan. Everyone should know he's a great guy. It's really cursing him. What's he doing? Everyone's going to come and say, hey, I heard you gave him a loan. Why don't you give me a loan? A guy walks into Machon Meir with a pie of pizza. He calls you over and says, Meir, I have a pie. I'm not going to finish the pie. Have a slice. You take the slice, you go into the lunchroom. Everyone sees you with a slice of pizza. They ask you, Mayor, where'd you get the slice of pizza? He said, oh, I didn't buy a pie, but Chaim just came, he bought a pie, he gave me a slice. So there's going to be those people who are going to walk over to Chaim and say, hey, I hear you got extra slices. What about a slice of pizza? Mevarech Re'ehu, the guy who blesses his friend, Bekol Gadol, with a loud voice, Baboker Hashkem, early in the morning. Kelalat Echashev Lo, really, it's considered like he cursed him, because what did he do to the guy? The guy did him a favor and he made it known. That's why sometimes someone offers me a ride and people ask, do you have a ride back from the wedding? So I tell him, I'll get back to you in a minute. I have a ride, I'll ask the guy if he has room. Maybe the guy doesn't want to take someone else. Maybe he wants to talk privately to me or someone else. And with me, he feels comfortable. Someone else, he won't. I don't have a right to put him in a situation. Because he's doing me a favor, I'll put him in a situation where he has to answer why he won't give someone else a ride. My responsibility when someone's doing me a favor is to ensure that I don't harm him for doing me that favor. I shouldn't be this person who's blessing him out loud in front of everyone early in the morning. Mevarech Re'ehu. Which one? So you tell them, I'll get back to you, I'll check with the ride if it works for them. I have a ride, I'm not going to lie, I do have a ride. And I'll get back to you. The guy says, tell me who it is, I'll ask him. So the answer is, I'll ask him. I'll see if it works for him. I don't have to give him that information. Someone's giving me a ride. I don't have to tell other people who that guy is. דלף תורד ביום מס סגריר ושת מדיינים משתבה. Shlomo HaMelech says, Pasuk Tetvav, the rain that drips into the house. So it's a drip, but it's a cold day. The Yom Sagrir, it's a day that people close their doors, they're in their house, it's rainy outside, and there's a drip into the house. No one likes the drip, especially if it's over their bed, especially if it's over their dining room table. Ve'eshet midyanim, and a woman who's constantly picking fights, Mishtava, she's equal to that drip. Because when you walk into your house and close the door on a day that's a Yom Sagrir, a day that you close doors and windows, you want to be cozy inside. So too, a person walks into his house, he doesn't want to deal with the fights that are outside. In his house he wants to be warm, in his house he wants things to be calm. So in every home there are going to be fights. But if she's Eshet Midyanim, she's a woman that's always picking fights, so then she's equal to the Delef Torah. Now, I don't think the problem with understanding this pasuk is that people who are inexperienced, they enter marriage and every guy will swear, I married an Eshet Midyanim. And every woman will swear, I married an Ish Midyanim. The nature of couples is that they will fight. The question is how much. If they're home too much together, then they'll fight a lot. But that has nothing to do with Eshet Midyanim. Eshet Midyanim is an exceptionally quarrelsome woman. But that's something which be very, very, very slow before you think that. Should never think that. Sofnei atzafan ruach v'shemen yimino yikra. Shlomo HaMelech says, Sofnei, whoever thinks he could hold on to her and hide her, really it's like a person who thinks he could hold on to and hide the wind. If a person marries a woman who's fighting him because she's going after other men, and unfortunately we've seen this come true. So a guy thinks, yeah, but she has good looks. Why does she have so many good boyfriends? Because she's such a good-looking girl. I want to marry her. He's a fool. Shlomo HaMelech says, why is she fighting with you? Because she leaves you in the middle of the row. And when she goes out, she goes to the bar, or she goes online, and she's in the chat rooms with all her friends. You think that you're going to be able to hold on to her? Like holding on to the wind. Sofnea tzafan ruach. And people sometimes put themselves in this situation. I don't understand it. Guys come to me and they say, I'm dating a girl, she has a lot of boyfriends. We're in the middle of a date and a guy walks over and she gives him a kiss in the middle of the date, so should I marry her? I don't know if you're considering it. What can I say? But Shlomo HaMelech warned us. There are certain things that if you think you're going to be able to retain them, it's like thinking you'll retain the wind. V'shemen yemino yikra. And he's really calling himself to a situation where he'll have to put oil on his right hand, which is an allusion to tzaras. When a person has tzaras, so to cure himself from it, ultimately he has to pour oil on his right hand. That's part of the cure process. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, what's he doing? He's bonding with her, he's marrying her, and he's making her part of him, and then her problem becomes his problem, and when her problem becomes his problem, so he has to purify himself like from tzaras. To change her, he won't change her. If these are her ways, it's not going to change. Don't marry her assuming she'll stop having boyfriends. If that's the life she's used to leading, then just because you aspire to something else, well, if that's not the way she's been living, why do you think it's going to change the day you get married? What is the nimshal you're saying? I don't know. Don't know.
What's the
nimshal? Ube'etzem koreh. In marrying her, he's really already calling the doctor, come cure me. He doesn't see the illness, but Shlomo HaMelech is warning him. What you're doing is you're bonding with someone ill. So you're making the illness a part of you, and you're really calling in the doctors.
The other way?
What, if a guy has tons of girlfriends? It's a problem. Yeah, why? Shlomo, I was talking about the woman. But why is the man any different? 100%. 100%. I've had girls call me up and tell me, while we're dating, I know he's in chat rooms and he's buddy-buddy with girls and he's seeing three girls at a time. I tell him, look, I can't vouch for the guy. Dating three girls at a time, there are rabbis who permit it. So what can I say? I don't agree with it. But I can't say it's forbidden. I think it's not right. But if while you're dating, he's having girlfriends. I once had a girl that was about to get engaged to the guy. And when they were discussing what he did last night, he told her he was doing his homework in a certain girl's home. So they were sitting together doing their homework together. Forget the Isser Yichud. I don't know what went on there. She didn't know what went on there. So she asked me, do you think I should get engaged to the guy? So you always have this question. When someone's asking you this question, obviously they're entertaining the thought, so you don't know what their norms are. But yeah, I told her, if this is normal by him, and he doesn't even feel embarrassed telling this to you, then that means this can happen when you're married too, because in his mind this is normal. Discuss it with him. But you see that these are the norms he's coming from. In his mind this is normal. Why do you think it's going to change in a day? If a person says, you know, 10 years ago I had girlfriends and stuff like that, I've changed my life. Okay, 10 years is a time where a person can say, I've been living my life differently. But if the person is still dating her and they're holding a few weeks before engagement and they're contemplating engagement and he doesn't feel embarrassed to tell her, last night I was doing homework for 4 hours till 1 o'clock in the morning with this girl at her house, so he's telling her something. It's not specifically the girl having boyfriends, the guy having girlfriends, it's the same thing. And you know what? This has proven itself. You know how many times we encounter this? Unfortunately, couples get married and then he says, you know, I'm having a hard time being faithful. But the same guy was telling me he was having a hard time being faithful when he was dating. So who are you kidding? Don't marry the guy. What do you mean? Hey, Barzel be Barzel yachad ve'ish yachad p'nei re'yehu. When you rub two pieces of metal together, you can sharpen each one. That's one of the ways you sharpen metal. You slice it one over the other. Yeah. So when you want to sharpen metal, you hone it, and sometimes the honing is done by metal. So too, one man can sharpen his fellow man. Two chavrusas that are sharp, they'll each sharpen one another. Notzer teina yochal piryam v'shomer adonav yechubad. Yachad is like chad, will sharpen. He who watches the fig will ultimately eat its fruit. So too he who watches his master will ultimately be honored. People want things now. And Shlomo HaMelech is reminding us, it takes an investment, it takes time that you watch it. And sometimes this applies also. It can apply to children. Parents always want the results now. Watch over it, take care of it. It will grow, and then you'll eat the fruits. Kamayin hapanim lapanim ken lev ha'adam la'adam. Just like in the water, you see your own face. When you look into the water, you don't see the reflection like looking in a clear mirror. But just like looking in the water, it's face to face. So too is the nature of human beings, one heart to the other. If you think your wife is being nasty to you, chances are you're being nasty to her. If you think that when you approach your chavrusa, he's always upset with you, well, maybe you're always upset with him. The nature of human beings is to reflect the emotions that they receive. When guys tell me, you know, there isn't enough happiness in the home, I say, well, how much happiness do you put into the home? I walk into the house and things are upset. Okay, so suffuse the house with happiness. Kamayim apanim lapanim, Shlomo HaMelech taught us. You look in the water, you see your reflection. When you're looking at your friend, you're seeing a reflection of yourself. Okay.